warning. The book of Proverbs and the book of James are a lot alike. The book of James is full of little nuggets, little one-verse or two-verse sections that have a great deal of wisdom in them. And the book of Proverbs is full of just that very thing. Little sections that just, in a short way, sum up some principle of life, some principle that God wants us to know. And that's in essence what we have referred to throughout the ages as a proverb. It's a little one-line or two-line statement that people will say that supposedly encompasses some great wisdom. And we have tons of proverbs that we say. We say things like, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, it may very well make him healthy, but I don't know that going to bed early and getting up early has ever made anybody any wealthier. And I don't know whether it would make you wiser other than the fact that if you're up more, you're going to experience more and you're going to learn more. And experience is one of the great teachers of wisdom. But I've known some folks that went to bed mighty early and got up even earlier, and they weren't real bright. They weren't real wise. So that doesn't always carry true. But that's one of the things that we need to understand about a proverb. A proverb is not something that is the same as a law. A law is always. When the Bible states something as a law or as a fact, there is no exception to that rule. It is the law, and that's the way it is. It is a fact, and that's the way it is. And nothing can change that. In the book of Proverbs, we read proverbs. Proverbs are statements that are generally true, meaning that most of the time, that will be the way things will work out. But, unlike a fact or a law, proverbs will have some exceptions. Most notably, we think of the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that is not a law. That is not a certainty that no child could ever turn away from righteousness if they were brought up properly. If that were the case, then the proverb writer would be teaching the impossibility of apostasy, or once saved, always saved. But we know better than that. We know other places that teach us that it is possible, even for someone who has become a Christian, to turn away from the faith. So we understand then, as we read these proverbs, that there are going to be some of them that would, well, I can think of a time where there was an exception to that. That's okay. Because they are not statements of absolute fact. They are statements of general principle. We talk about going to bed early and getting up early makes somebody healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, that's all good and fine for the bird. But if you're a worm, you might want to sleep in. The early bird catches the worm. But if you're the early worm, you're in trouble. You stay in bed a little longer. Well, see, there's a proverb that goes both ways on some of those things, and depending on the circumstances. So, as we read these proverbs, we're going to see that most of them are going to be truisms, as we refer to them sometimes. They are statements that are generally true, but they're not as true as a fact. We say 2 plus 2 is 4. Well, 2 plus 2 is always 4. That's a fact. But we say, two heads are better than one. Well, that depends on the two heads. There are some folks where two heads are worse than one other person's head, or get into more trouble anyway, than another person with just one head. You have two people who do fine when they're apart, but when you get those two heads together, they bang heads. So, those statements that are generally true, and generally accepted as wise saying, but it's not the same as a fact. Or as a law. And think about the law of gravity. Gravity is a law that says anything that's up in the air that's not held up there in some way is going to fall. That's a law. It cannot be broken. We use rockets and we use wings on airplanes and all sorts of other hot air balloons. We use ways to fight against gravity, to hold something up in the air. But the fact of the matter is, if there's not something holding it up, it's going to fall back to the ground. That's a fact. That's a law. It can't be changed. There are no exceptions to that law. But when we make a statement about some generality, like obey your parents so that you'll have long life on the earth, well, there are some people who are very disobedient to their parents who still live to be 95 years old. And there are some people who obey their parents very well that die young. It's not always the case, but it's generally the truth. It's generally the way things work out. So let's look then at the book of Proverbs. As we begin the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, first 7 verses, Solomon gives basically the prologue, the purpose of the book. What's the idea? What am I aiming for here? He wants to introduce this before he gives us the Proverbs themselves. So he describes it as the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, we want to notice that toward the end of the book, there are going to be some proverbs and some wisdom that he recorded that he learned from other people. In fact, one of the most popular things in the book of Proverbs, the worthy woman, as we might call it in Proverbs 31, was actually not Solomon. It was King Lemuel that his mother had taught him. So some of the things in here are going to be things that he had learned from other people, but that the Holy Spirit saw as true wisdom and worthy of being included in the Scriptures. And so I'm sure Solomon heard a lot of things through his ears that didn't get put in this book because they weren't true wisdom. He says then, here's the purpose of these proverbs. In verse 2 he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive or understand the words of understanding. You know, sometimes there are things that are full of wisdom that we just don't understand. We don't get it. And I think back to some of the things that my parents told me when I was a youngster. And they were full of wisdom, but I just didn't get it. Now I understand a lot of those things that they told me, and I wish I could have understood them back then. But this is the purpose that he has, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to be able to really get it, to really know what all of these wise sayings are all about, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. See, to be able to be just, to be able to judge rightly, to be able to be equitable or fair. Well, those are pretty lofty goals, aren't they? And yet these are the kinds of things that he says that his book, his purpose of his book is to do these things. To give subtlety to the simple. Now basically the simple, when he refers to the simple, he's talking basically about the ignorant. Those that don't understand. He's not talking about easy things. But when he refers to the simple, or the simpleton, it's someone who doesn't understand. But he's trying to give them some subtlety, to give them a little bit of understanding, a little bit of prudence, a little bit of knowledge. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. How important is it to have discretion? You know, little children just blurt things out. And sometimes, there were things that didn't need to be said. I recall one time when a certain family member of mine was at our house, and I was a little fella, and I made a remark about her smelling like a skunk. Well, it was true enough. She hadn't bathed, and she smelled pretty badly. But my mother had a long talk with me about learning when to keep my mouth shut, and some things that just... You gotta learn with discretion. That's something that we learn with time. It's something that we need to learn. Sometimes saying the wrong thing can actually drive somebody away from Christ. We have to pick and choose what we say and how we say it and when we say it to have the greatest effect. And Jesus, of course, was the master at that because he was perfect in all that he did. But the rest of us, we struggle along and we do the best we can. But there's always, as they say, the largest room in the world is the room for improvement. And we all have room for improvement in any of these things. Wisdom, understanding, discretion, knowledge, all of these things. He says then in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. He says in essence, if you're wise, you're going to listen to me and you're going to become even wiser. We know that Solomon was given a gift of wisdom by the Lord. The Lord offered him fame, fortune, anything he wanted. Solomon asked for wisdom and being able to rule his people. And God granted that as well as in giving him the fame and the fortune. And so here he is then imparting some of that wisdom that God gave him to the rest of us. If we're wise, we're going to listen to what he has to say. Because he's wiser than we are. He made some mistakes in his life just like we do. And some people might say when it came to women, he wasn't very wise. He wrote some very wise things in the book of Proverbs about women and how men and women should get. But he just kind of didn't follow through with what he knew. And that's one of the things that we need to learn from him. To use the wisdom that we have available to us here. He says, the wise man's going to hear. He's going to listen. And he's going to learn more. He's going to increase his learning. The man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. You know, if you are a person that understands the value of wisdom, then you're going to seek someone's wise counsel on that. Yeah, there are a lot of areas where I feel like I can do it just as well as anybody else, and I can do it on my own. You know, I don't need to call in an expert to tell me how to screw in a light bulb. I know how to do that. I don't need an expert to tell me how to put paint on a brush and brush a wall. I can do that. But when it comes to some other thing, I don't feel quite as confident. I have car trouble. And well, if I need to change my oil, I can do that as well as an expert. But when it gets into some of those more serious mechanical things or some of the computerized things that are on those cars now, I want somebody with more wisdom than I've got. And so I go talk to one of the mechanics that I trust, and there are about two of them in the world. That's about it. But you want somebody with more wisdom in certain areas. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. There are times when we understand our need for wise counsel. And we need to go to somebody who has some wisdom in that area. Different people have wisdom in different areas. It's not a good idea necessarily to go to somebody who's never had children about how to raise children. You want to go to somebody who's had children and raised them successfully. It's not a good idea to go to somebody that's never been married and ask them how to have a successful marriage. If you want a successful marriage, you go find the person that's been married for 40 or 50 years and say, well, what did you do to make it work that long? How is that that you did that? So, a lot of these things, we want to go to someone who has wisdom. And then he says, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. You know, sometimes some of these proverbs, some of these wise sayings are a little hard to understand. And so Solomon says, here's the purpose of this, and it's for us to continue learning and to be able to try to solve some of these tough to understand things, to try to have some way of thinking about them. And then he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word that we're going to see translated as fool throughout the book of Proverbs and other places in the Bible is used. But this word generally means not someone who's stupid or foolish as we would think of it, but instead someone who is less than properly moral. Someone who is deficient in the morality. Someone who is just a bad seed. Someone who is disobedient to the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. That if we fear the Lord, that's the beginning. That's where we have to start in order to get knowledge. Fear is the beginning point. That's not the end point. We want to move beyond that, but that's where we need to start. With fearing the Lord. And that'll begin our quest for knowledge. He says, fool. Those who are morally corrupt, in essence, they despise wisdom and instruction. You ever met somebody like that? They're bad, and they know they're bad, and they don't care, and they don't lot of people like that. And you become known as a bigot or a hate monger, or you're just homophobic if you speak against homosexuality, or you're just this or you're just that because you don't see fit to accept the way that they're doing things. Well, he tells us, fools, those who are anti-moral, if we use that term, those folks, they despise wisdom and instruction. Then he begins to exhort his son, and of course the rest of us as well, to embrace wisdom. And he warns his son that he needs to hear the instruction of his father and the law of his mother, not forsake that. He says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." There is no better way to decorate our lives, so to speak, than with instruction and wisdom and obedience. You find someone who is morally reprehensible to the larger part of society, and you'll find somebody who's refused instruction and who doesn't obey. They're rebellious. They think they know it all. They don't need to learn from anybody else. They think they're smarter than everybody else, and they can get it over on everybody. And those people are despicable to others. They despise for having that attitude. So he warns us, listen to your father and mother. Learn from them. Obey them. And then, of course, the section that we looked at this morning, beginning in verse 10, where he warns his son about how sinners will try to entice, try to rope you in to doing something sinful. And it's always been the case that if someone is willing to get you to do something evil against somebody else, that same someone will be willing to do that same evil thing against you. It's always been the case. We talked about it with gossip, with lies, even with murder. Somebody that's willing to get in with you to go and murder somebody else. How many times have two people gone together, they go and, involved in some sort of robbery or something and kill somebody, and then one of them winds up killing the other one? Because what's the old saying, another proverb, two can keep a secret if one of them is dead. And a lot of times, that's the way it is. It's the same. There's no honor among thieves. All of these kinds of proverbs, and this is the kind of thing that Solomon is trying to warn us. Don't get involved with these people. They're not trustworthy. They're out there doing sinful things. And if you get involved with them, you're going to be going downhill along with them. He says in verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." There are so many times that people get involved with the wrong crowd and it leads them down the wrong path. They get involved in something that gets them in trouble. Heard recently, I won't tell who or where, but someone in jail because they had a gun and let somebody else borrow it. And that other person went out and killed somebody with it. They didn't do anything. They didn't kill anybody. But they supplied the weapon to him. And they became an accessory to murder themselves. Just don't get involved with people who are doing evil things. Those whose feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. It says that they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own blood. It says, "Nor are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the life of the owner thereof." These people are dangerous, and we need to stay away from them. We need to learn Solomon's wisdom. And then, of course, he warns against rejecting that wisdom. beginning in verse 20. He says, wisdom cries without, uttereth her voice in the street. I call this personification. He's made wisdom into a person, personified wisdom, as a woman who's crying out, trying to get people to pay attention. And he says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long? How long? If you can imagine wisdom, if wisdom had a personality, of course being wise as wisdom would be, wisdom would look upon the foolishness in our world and would cry out these very things. How long are you going to keep hanging on to your ignorance? How long is it going to be before you're going to open up your mind and learn better? Quite probably the best definition of foolishness, they also say it's a definition from being crazy, but it's such a common thing anymore. They say when you do the same thing over and over again and expect to get different results, that shows you crazy. Or that shows, in this case, that's foolishness. If we continue to do the same foolish thing, we're going to get the same dreadful results. We've got to overcome it. And then she goes on to say, wisdom does, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my word unto you. You almost have to wonder if he describes wisdom here, if he's not making reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, had a great deal of wisdom to impart to the world. And he talks about how the wisdom says, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. But the spirit of wisdom, as opposed to the spirit of ignorance and foolishness, he contrasts these throughout the book of Proverbs. And then he goes on to say, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Okay, I tried. I called out to you. You didn't answer. I tried to correct you. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't take correction. You wouldn't accept the reproof. Then here is wisdom's response. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes, as desolation and your destruction comes, as a whirlwind or a tornado, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear. Wisdom tells us that if you'll just listen, if you'll just learn, if you'll just be wise, I can protect you. I can keep you from the day of calamity. I can keep you from the destruction that's coming upon the ignorant, upon the foolish, upon the simple. But you've got to listen to wisdom. You've got to accept the instruction that wisdom gives. He says, whoever listens, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now here again, in this last verse, we see ultimately we know this is true. When it comes to judgment day, those who have refused to fear the Lord and refused wisdom and knowledge will suffer the day of calamity. And those who have heeded Him and have been reproved by Him and corrected and chastened, those will be safe from that evil day. But we know that here in this life, that's not all the way it works out. It seems sometimes like the foolish and the simple continue to prosper, while the wise don't have anything to call their own. And yet, we know that in the final count, what the proverb writer here has said is going to be true. And that's why we have to realize the things that happen from time to time in this life, you know, whosoever shall hearken unto me shall dwell safely. Well, there are a lot of wise people who have been destroyed by others, by the foolishness of others. There have been many good people who have been harmed, injured, even killed by wicked people. So he's not promising that if we'll listen to wisdom, we'll never have anything bad happen to us in our life. He's talking about at the end of life. When it comes to the judgment day, where will we stand then? And Solomon promises us, through the voice of wisdom, that if we'll listen to the wisdom, we'll heed that, then in the final day, we'll know that we can be safe and we won't have anything to fear. There are a great many people who, when judgment day comes, are going to fear the Lord. But it's going to be too late then. If we fear the Lord now, then we won't have to fear Him then. We need to make sure that we have the right kind of fear that causes us to be obedient to Him. We'll just introduce a little bit the book of Proverbs. We're going to continue on through it. We're probably not going to cover the rest of it as thoroughly as we have this first chapter. We want to see where this book is leading. What's the purpose? Where are we going? Why should we listen to something that this guy wrote over 3,000 years ago? Because wisdom remains the same. Fads come and go. Now, he had written a book on how to dress for success. Well, we might not want to listen to that because his ideas on proper dress in the workplace are quite different from modern ideas of proper dress in the workplace. It wouldn't have accomplished them. But wisdom, true wisdom and knowledge, instruction and righteousness, that hasn't changed in 3,000 years. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you haven't listened to the voice of wisdom. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time you accepted the instruction of the Lord and the instruction of wisdom. Perhaps it's time that you began with the fear of the Lord to gain knowledge. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand.